Good morning, everyone. It's the 21st of February, 2019, Thursday morning, and I just got up a little bit ago and got my cup of coffee, and I want to read some scriptures to you, make some comments this morning. Good morning, Penny. Welcome aboard. I am the Lord your God, which has separated you from other people, and ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. I am the Lord which sanctify you. Leviticus 20, verse 8, Leviticus 20, 24, and 26. Sanctified by God the Father, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Jude 1. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body is preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Our Savior Jesus Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, it's a very interesting group of scriptures that we have before us this morning. You're looking at a person who was raised in a home that went to a holiness church. My mother still attends that holiness church. And one of their favorite sayings was, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. But it was a different kind of holiness than is described in the Bible. The holiness that they were speaking of is holiness in and of oneself. I can remember as a child hearing these altar calls during these revival services. And the preacher would say something like this: you need to come down here right now and seek God in sanctification. You need to die out to the old man. You need to be entirely sanctified. They preach sanctification as a definite work of grace. Problem is, that's not what the Scripture teaches. The Scripture teaches that we are set apart by God. That's sanctification. That's what the Scripture teaches. People don't want to hear that in the Nazarene church. They don't want to hear that in the holiness churches. They don't want to hear that in the Pentecostal churches. But I've just read a whole group of scriptures to validate what I'm saying. I'm the Lord which sanctify you. I'm the Lord your God which has severed you from other people. Do you think that we have of our own selves the power to sanctify ourselves? I have severed you from other people. Sanctified by God the Father. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. Do you live a perfectly blameless life? Whoops, be careful now. Good morning, Ganji Ezra. Welcome aboard. If you say you do, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. That's what the Bible says. The only way that God is going to preserve us, our whole spirit, our whole soul, and our body, and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, is by looking at his perfect Son, the perfect sacrifice for our sins. It says that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. He's the one that did the setting apart. He's the one that paid the price on the cross. He's the one that shed his blood on the cruel cross of Calvary. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in himself a peculiar people. Yes, we're zealous of good works. We're zealous of good works. But we are not perfect. That's what John Wesley taught. The doctrine of entire sanctification, the doctrine of perfection. I sanctify myself, in other words, I set myself apart that also they also might be set apart or sanctified through the truth, not a lie. Sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So if you're holding on to a doctrine of perfection, if you think that you have arrived, you think that you have, you know, they asked John Wesley at the end of his life, have you met anyone that you thought was totally sanctified? He said, no, I really haven't. He said, well, I might have known one lady. And then he stopped. No, I take that back. But yet that's what they're teaching in these holiness churches, that you can be entirely sanctified. God is the one that does the setting apart. God is the one through his blood that gives us the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not by the works. Not by works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Good morning, Leon Kennedy. Welcome aboard this morning. So, if you believe that a person can become entirely sanctified through their own works, you've missed the boat. You've missed the boat. God is the one who sets us apart. God is the one that shed his precious blood. God is the one that did the work. And yes, he has ordained that we walk in good works. Paul says, be not weary in well-doing. Just because we are walking in obedience to God doesn't mean that we have reached perfection. The longer I live, the more I see, the more imperfections I see in myself, and the more perfections I see in the Holy One, the perfect one. Shed his blood for my sins. So people have a misunderstanding of sanctification. I'm going to read those scriptures again for those who joined us a little later. We read, I am the Lord which sanctify you. I am the Lord your God which has separated you from other people. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. sanctified by God the Father. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Our Jesus Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Leviticus 28, Leviticus 20, 24, and 26, Jude 1, John 17, 17. Why do I come against this doctrine of entire sanctification and perfection that John Wesley taught? Because it's a lie. God is the only perfect sacrifice. God himself is the one who severed us from among the people. God is the one who set us apart. It is him that works in us to do and the will of his own good pleasure. In him we live and move and have our being. There's nothing good in ourselves, okay, in and of ourselves. Paul said, what I do, I don't do, and what I don't do, I do do. I'm paraphrasing. We're in a battle against the flesh and the devil. But God has won the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we look to Christ for all things, for his righteousness, not any righteousness of our own. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure, safe from wrath, and make me sure. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Amen. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless, to stand before his throne. If I'm trusting in my own righteousness, I'm going to fail and falter every time. But if my trust, and by the way, it's the faith of Christ that he's placed within me, That is the hope for the Christian. The faith of Christ, not the faith of ourselves. So this morning, I want to read a few things before we close out. I've read these before, but I think we need to be reminded that all of our hope and faith and trust and confidence comes from Jesus Christ. It all comes from him. That's not what most people are taught today. They talk about all the things you must do. They have a laundry list of all the things you must do. Well, the gift of salvation. The gift of salvation. Bible is not just another book, it is God-breathed, the living Word of God. In it can be found the words of eternal life. Whether we believe it or not is the question at hand. The Bible says we are born and conceived in sin, and that all man died in Adam, and all who are made alive in Christ. The Bible does not say that faith, belief, or repentance saves you, but it does say Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And it does say that all that the Father hath given him will come to him. And all that come to him he will in no wise cast out. The Bible says the Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof. John 3. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Christ also says you must be born again. So the Bible says that the first thing that must happen to a sinner is that he must be born again. And then he receives the faith of Christ to believe that Christ died for his sins. And then he will readily confess that he is a sinner in need of a Savior. He will then trust in the completed work of Christ for him on Calvary as a perfect sacrifice for his sins. When this happens, the sinner becomes a new creature in Christ. He is no longer under condemnation and has received forgiveness on the merits of God's gift to him. And he now realizes that he was foreknown, predestinated, called, justified, and glorified. Yes, predestinated unto adoption. That's a little bit different than those going about seeking their own holiness. Those going about proclaiming that they are becoming more and more perfect, rather than trusting in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Well, I want us to think on this morning. Realize how marvelous God's grace really is. The creature wants to prop himself up in his own righteousness and in his own works. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done by giving his chosen people his dear Son, the perfect sacrifice to atone for their sins that knew no beginning and never will end. This eternal vital union gives comfort to the soul to know that our destiny our Savior controls. Given to him before the foundation of the world, this eternal adoption has just begun to unfurl. Lord, let your marvelous grace speak to my soul when the waves of trouble over me roll. May I always cry out, Abba, Father, to you, knowing that forever I will be with you. God's people have been given the faith of Christ. There's no greater gift we could have been given to know that he's died for us and secured for us a place in heaven. That his death gave us the imputed righteousness of Christ. This was his ultimate sacrifice. God the Father looks upon it and says it is finished. It never has to be replenished. His work is done. It's finished. It's complete. The decree in eternity before the world began was fixed. It was a divine plan. Christ was slain from the foundation of the world to bring salvation, manifested at the incarnation, completed at the resurrection, guaranteeing our glorification and the eternal home with Christ in heaven. Well, I hope today will find you resting in the faith of Christ and his completed work on the cross. And realize that he's the one who set us apart. He's the one who separated us out from a world of sin and sorrow. He is the one who guaranteed that we could be seen by the Father as perfectly righteous through His completed sacrifice, not our own works, not a works of righteousness that we have done. By grace we are saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift of God. So, I want everyone to be encouraged this morning. What encouragement that does bring to know that He is the Lord, the King of Kings. Let it be understood exactly what I am. I'm a sinner saved by grace, just like the Apostle Paul said. I'm a despicable, vile creature who was raised up from the dead. I deserve the wrath of God, but it was placed on Christ instead. When I think of how vile and wretched this poor sinner really is, it gives me pause to wonder how awesome Christ forgives. To suffer, bleed, and die on a cruel and rugged tree, and cry out while he was dying to forgive a sinner like me. What a marvelous act of mercy and kindness he did to me show, when I deserved to be cast into hell there to forever go. All my praise and worship should sing forth for eternity for Christ bleeding and dying to save a wretched sinner like me. Well, the final one I want to read is called When Hope and Faith is Given. Hope, like faith and repentance, is a gift from God, and when it is given, faith gives its nod. They are joined together, sent from heaven above. Do you remember the first time you had hope that Christ had died for you? This faith, belief, and hope was a gift so true. We could never have faith, belief, or hope when we were dead in sin. This is the greatest evidence that we've been born again. By the Holy Spirit who gave us these things, including repentance, causing our heart to flee to Christ and then joy he did bring. Having assurance that Christ died for our sins is the greatest joy that could ever be, knowing that we are a part of the elect family, bought by his blood and adopted by him before we were even born, chosen to be ransomed from our sins. This is the greatest miracle that Jesus Christ did for me, adopting me into his family and dying on the rugged tree. This is my eternal song that I will forever sing. Thanks be to Calvary. I am forever free and eternal life. He did bring. May the good Lord be with you today in a special way. It is my prayer. God bless.